Good morning. Good to see everyone out on this cold, but going to be getting colder morning. Several weeks ago, I began this series on how we, as a church of fewer numbers than we've had in the past, can still focus on being there for each other, helping each other. And, you know, there are a lot of different passages, and once I got into this, there really are a lot of passages in the New Testament that talk about how we can help each other, how we can be there, support each other. And you would think with numbers our size, that shouldn't be too hard because we should all kind of know each other's business. I was thinking about that when we were at the church in Texas a couple weeks ago. Probably had 250 people there. And I'm like, there are probably people there that have no idea who other people are there. You know, a church that large, you could lose a little bit of the... It could become maybe a little impersonal, but with here, I don't think we have that problem. We tend to know each other, and that is actually something that we should, you know, focus on and promote. And so, you know, as I'm doing these, I'm not doing them necessarily saying I think we need to work in these areas. So surely there are areas that we can each look at that as I'm talking and apply it to ourselves. But for the most part, I think we do a lot of this. And so today, I'm going to focus on serving each other. If we turn to John chapter 13, this is where Jesus and the 12 apostles are gathered in the upper room. It's probably we're on our Wednesday night class. Hopefully we're not too terribly far away from getting to this point of the Gospels. But as we find ourselves here in chapter 13, Judas has not yet betrayed the Lord, but he knew in his mind, or, you know, that's what he had determined to do, had made the arrangements to do so. But yet, at this time, they're still all together. And after finishing their meal, very common scene that I'm sure a lot of you could easily recall what happens, but Jesus gets up, ties a towel around his waist, gets water in a basin, or I don't think they had buckets back then, but, you know, they got water in some kind of a container, and he proceeds to wash the feet of his disciples that were there. And the Lord and Savior gets down on the ground and washes their feet. I don't know about you, but I don't like feet, and I can't imagine washing John's feet for some, you know, that just odd. But the Lord lowered himself and was not too proud or too high and mighty, and he had every right to be. But he got down and he washed their feet. So I want to read the account found there in John chapter 13, verses 12 through 17. After he had finished, he said this to the disciples. Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Here, Jesus had just led by example, and he wanted to make sure that his disciples understood why he had just done, you know, what he had just completed. And so he gives us the example of service, and says, we are no greater than he, so we should not look down upon service like that. And if we're called to do something, we need to be saying, all right, how can I do this? How can I carry this out? And so we have to transition from a self-focusing or a self-centered form of thinking and really look at how we should be helping each other. And that's not easy because, I mean, it's easy to say in our society today, but this is human nature. Everyone wants to think that they're too good to do something. Everybody has some point, line in the sand, where they don't think I should have to do that. And that's the kind of thinking that we are being exhorted to leave behind. The Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15, said this. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. And so Paul begins by saying here in verse 13, you are free, and because you are free, it means you're able to serve others. You're not under control of anyone else. You have control of yourself, and you can make this decision to help others. Now, the freedom from which he's talking about is freedom from the law of Moses. They had been set free from those rigid and, you know, very organized law. That was the law of sin and death, and they are no longer slaves of that. Instead, they're now children of the highest king. We are citizens in the kingdom of God, and we are part of his family. But Paul says that just because you're set free doesn't mean that you're free to do whatever it is that you want. We're not free to serve ourselves. We're not free to be self-focused and to focus on the desires that we may have. The purpose that God has given our freedom is so we are free to serve one another, and just not serve one another. It's like we talked last week, bearing one another. We have to do it in love. Well, that's what Paul says here in Corinthians, or in Galatians, that we are to serve each other, but we should do it in a spirit of love. We're not called into Christ to be self-indulgent. We're called to serve one another, just as Jesus exemplified in John chapter 13. And so Paul is saying, you've been set free, and I want you to use your freedom to be servants of each other. Now, some versions translate the end of Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 this way. And it says, but through love, become slaves to one another. And so Paul, it's kind of an oxymoron, but you're free so you can be a slave. That's really what he's saying here. You're to become slaves, but it's not like the slavery that you were under before under the law of Moses. And you were enslaved to sin, you were in a lost state, and you were separated from God. But you've overcome that. And so he's telling them that now that you've taken this step of becoming free by escaping the sin that was in your life, he's warning them, don't fall back into that. You can't continue to live that life and still be free. And so he's saying, become slaves of each other, but it is a voluntary decision. It's something that we should want to do, and it should fill us with joy to be able to help each other. Now, Jesus did not say anywhere in the Bible, you know, when he was in the Gospels, he never said, go and serve. He never said those words. But we have to serve others, and it must come from our love of God and our love for each other. But then it's just not serving also that is we're being called to do. He wants us to do it. It's not a compulsory thing. It's not something we should do, well, I have to do this. And yes, we have to do it, but he's pleading with us that we do it out of a sense of love for each other. And so Paul expands upon this a little bit in Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, he said, if I give away all I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. I think as we go through this study, we'll notice that love plays a big part in how we should interact with each other. And often what people miss when they read these things is they focus on, oh, I have to do this, I'm commanded to do this. And they don't focus on the love aspect. When I'm truly loving God and worshiping him and doing what we need to do, it should motivate us to help others and to love them. And this is the model that Paul gave in the Philippian letter. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8 reads, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by being obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. I can't stress enough that it is not just a commandment that we have to be a servant, but we have the example that Jesus acted as a servant on our behalf and really for our good. Not just when he washed the disciples' feet, all through his life, he demonstrated this. And so Paul is saying that to merely tell us to serve one another in love does not really underline it in our hearts the way it should be. Because if we go into the next verse, chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 14, we're told to love your neighbor as yourself. And so he expands upon this. And so the whole law is fulfilled in this statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And this cannot be interpreted in any way a self-focused or a self-centered viewpoint. Paul assumes that most people do love themselves, and they do keep their own self-interest in the forefront. So he's saying, just as you feel about yourself, that's how you should feel towards one another. And so the command is to take your already existing love of self and make it kind of like the measuring tape of how you interact with others. And so if we all had the same zeal to do good and to do nice things for each other that we would want done to ourselves, well, then a lot of good could be accomplished. And so Paul is teaching that serving one another is how we show that love, an outward way of demonstrating that. But if we don't become slaves to each other and we're not loving each other, then that's where we could have issues. Paul is just kind of tying all of this together for us. Love does a lot of things. Love gives of itself. Love sacrifices. Love serves. Love forfeits to someone else. And love is yielding. At least that's the way it should be. We should yield to each other. And I can't say that I love someone and then don't have any regard or any consideration for how you're doing. If I love you, I shouldn't have to wait for you to come to me and tell me something's wrong. I should be able to tell that if I truly have that relationship. Love doesn't look at self, but it forces you to look at others. And if we follow this, then it just helps us in one other way to willingly become servants of each other. In verse 15 of Galatians 5, Paul's telling us that this is done through unity. If we're not serving each other, then in essence, we're allowing each other to be destroyed in some sense. If we're not helping, well, we're certainly not maybe tossing the bricks, but we're helping your building crumble, so to speak, by not helping you shore it up. When we stop showing the love for each other through our actions, then harmony and unity is going to be lost. It is going to, as Paul says, it'll devour us. If we're not loving, well, then it'll turn into hatred. Because selfish thinking destroys love. Serving promotes love. And so serving one another is how we can prevent from turning on each other. It'll help us prevent us from, as Paul says, devouring one another. And so when we don't love each other, then we'll say things and do things that will hurt each other. Keep that thought in mind. I'll be talking about that a little bit in my second lesson. And so if we're not helping, then by default, we're hurting. And so James asks a question and answers it in his letter. In James chapter 4, verse 1, James says, "What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this that your passions are at war within you? What causes fights and what causes quarrels is that you're thinking about yourself. Fights come about because we stop serving each other. How many marriages have been destroyed because they don't focus on their spouse? They don't treat their spouse with the love and the care that they should, and the love leaves the marriage, and they start thinking about themselves, and marriages can be destroyed. Same thing with families. When families stop caring about each other and wanting the best for each other and start focusing only on what's good for yourself, then families will come apart. And if we think that doesn't happen in the church, well, there's years and years of history of churches falling apart because people are more concerned about getting what they want instead of serving each other. And so we have to look at it. Well, we can find an example of this type of thinking and how, while it didn't lead into a big issue, but we find that there was some disruption among the apostles that eventually became apostles. And we talked about it recently on a Wednesday night during our class. And so for that reason, I'm not going to reread the passage. It's kind of lengthy anyway. But it was about when Jesus was approached by the mother of James and John. I want my sons to sit on the left and on the right of you on your throne in the kingdom. And they were thinking about themselves. That's what they were focusing on. And rightly so, how did the other 10 react? They were indignant about it. They were very upset. Not because they had the high and mighty. How dare, because they were thinking about themselves. They were thinking, well, what's in it for me? I want to sit by the Lord on his throne. And so neither one of them were in the right in this situation. Both groups were thinking about themselves. But Jesus says, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. And so if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, if you want to have the position of sitting on his left hand or on his right hand, then we have to, you get there by serving. You don't get there by just being great and making sure other people know about it. You get there by serving. If we want to be with him, then we have to be a slave to each other. And the reason is because that's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He didn't come to be loved. He came to love. And so he gave his life as an ultimate display of love for each other, for others, I should say, and serving one another. And so as I conclude, just think about the great things that we could do if we do act upon this among ourselves. The loving your neighbor like you love yourself would help us all through any issues we had. And so not only are we commanded, but we should desire to do this and let our words and actions show that we have this love. Brother Bragg has the prayer, and after a short break, we will begin our class at 9:30.